Well, good morning, Sower Nation. It is Saturday, February 14th in the year of our Lord 2026. I am Andrew Forrest, and this is your wake-up call. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. It is Valentine's Day, if y'all can believe it, if that matters to you. I'll be honest, I don't care that much about Valentine's Day one way or the other, but maybe it's important to you. But it's a Saturday, always a good day. It's the end of one part of the week, the beginning of the next part of the week. For me, it's always like this, like, breath before Sunday morning begins. I've mentioned before on the wake-up call here how I, you know, try to take it pretty easy. I'm the senior pastor at Asbury Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I will be preaching tomorrow at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and 11 o'clock. We live stream at 9 and 11. If you're ever in Tulsa, come by, say hello, or check us out online. I'm also the author of Love Goes First, a new book out with Zondervan and Seedbed, and this is breaking news. In March, on March 9th, 16th, and 23rd, I'm going to be teaching a live video course on some of the stuff in the book and some of the stuff that's not in the book from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Central Time. I'd love to have you join us. You can go on to the Seedbed website and just search for Love Goes First, title of the book, and the course will come right up there. You can register, bring people along with it. A live course is really, really, really fun because, you know, there's questions and there's interactions and that kind of thing. So I hope you'll think about participating. I'd love to get a huge number of folks on there. It will be a lot of fun. And I love, love, love talking about this material. Now, today, we're almost at the end of our study through the second half of Exodus. In my church, Asbury, we're reading through the Bible in the year. We're using the one-year Bible, and we're just about the end of Exodus. And we've been studying the part of Exodus that's about God, well, getting Egypt out of the people. If the first part of Exodus is God getting the people out of Egypt, the second part is God getting the people out of Egypt. And now we're just coming to the tail end of the book, and it ends in a very, very surprising way. So all that to say, Lord, we thank you for taking us out of Egypt. Now, Lord, please take Egypt out of us. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. Praying in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture reading for the day is Exodus 37, 25 to 29. Hear now the word of the Lord. He made the altar of incense of acacia wood. Its length was a cubit, and its breadth was a cubit. It was square, and 2 cubits was its height. Its horns were of one piece with it. He overlaid it with pure gold, its top and around its sides and its horns. And he made a molding of gold around it, and made 2 rings of gold on it under its molding, on 2 opposite sides of it, as holders for the poles with which to carry it. And he made the poles of acacia wood, and overlaid them with gold. He made the holy anointing oil also, and the pure fragrant incense blended, as by the perfumer. The word of the Lord. So what is the point of incense? And as I say that, allow me to light my candle this morning. But what is the point of incense? What does it do? Why is it in the Bible? Why do people use it? Why is it prescribed as part of the worship in the tabernacle? Well, at my church, as I mentioned, we're reading through the Bible together in a year, and we're in the final part of Exodus, which is not most people's favorite section. There's a long description of the furniture and the decorations that are to be crafted and built for the tabernacle. And then there is a long, repetitive section that describes them actually being crafted and built. We talked yesterday about how the repetition is actually making a profound theological point about the grace of God, so you might want to check that out. But either way, here we are again. Well, one of the things that this repetition affords is the opportunity to look more closely at the elements of tabernacle furniture and decoration. So today, I want to look at the altar for incense and ask, what is the point of incense? Now, one of my principles is that you understand the Bible through reading the Bible. And so further passages of Scripture actually tell us something lovely about the incense in the tabernacle as long as we keep reading. So, for example, Incense is meant to represent prayer, rising up to the Lord. As it says in the Psalms, "Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." That's Psalm 141, verse 2. How about this passage? "And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense." Luke chapter 1, verse 10. How about this? "And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." It's Revelation 5, 8. And then finally from Revelation. "And another angel came and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel." I just absolutely love that idea. There's something, I think, particularly spiritually sweet about prayer. It pleases the Lord and makes the world pleasant and aromatic. So I'm a sucker for a nice scented candle like this one. On days when I'm sitting at my desk, I like to light a candle. Now, you can't smell this unless you have smell-o-vision made by Willy Wonka through the screen here, but I can. And when I'm sitting at my desk on like a winter day, I light the candle and then I'll blow it out, you know, and I'll watch the smoke twist and curl and then vanish. And then maybe after a while, I mentioned I'm a sucker for a good candle. I will light it all over again. What Exodus is teaching us is that our prayers play the same role in God's creation. Our prayers please the Lord and make things sweet and lovely. I think this is just the most glorious idea. So I'm going to ask you this. Why don't you turn off your darn phone today, sit still, and offer up prayers for a few minutes, make the world a little bit sweeter, and thereby please the Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you for the gift of prayer and for giving us a role to play in your world that can help make things sweet. Thank you for the Old Testament, which teaches us how to live well and gives us insight into how your world works. Hear our prayers, Lord, and let them be lifted up to you as sweet-smelling incense. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have some journal prompts for you to get you thinking. Number one. What does the tabernacle furniture have to teach us about proper worship? Why doesn't the Lord just tell us? Why does he often seem to prefer to show us? Two, why would prayer be equated with spiritual incense? What's sweet about prayer? Three, what in the way you are currently living makes prayer difficult? What changes can you make to make it easier for you to pray more habitually and regularly? So I know that this part of Exodus is nobody's favorite. But I really do think there's a value in kind of digging into the scripture and paying attention to what these things actually mean. And there's something about this idea of prayer as incense. I've always loved it. I actually first encountered the idea not in the beginning of the Bible in Exodus, but at the end in Revelation. And so it was fun for me to come back through in Exodus and see the things that John talks about in Revelation, how the golden bowls, I like the candle has gold, the golden bowls are like the prayers of God's people, their incense before the throne of God. It's gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. Well, today we will sing as our closing hymn, "Nearer My God to Thee," which is hymn 345 from the Seedbed Hymnal, Our Great Redeemer's Praise. I don't have a favorite hymn. I like a lot of them. But if you asked me what one of my favorites might be, it might be this one. I think this is just the loveliest hymn. It's just so beautiful. Now, what I should tell you about this hymn that helps you kind of get more out of it is that it's like a musical retelling of Jacob's experience of the dream when he's at Bethel and he has heaven opens and he sees angels and descending on the ladder. So what the hymn writer has done is taken that idea and worked it musically to like, God, I want to be close to you wherever I am. So here we are. This is "Nearer My God to Thee," hymn 345. Nearer, my God, to Thee, nearer to Thee, e'en though it be a cross that raiseth me, Still all my song shall be, nearer my God to thee, nearer my God to thee, nearer to thee. Verse 2. Though like the wanderer, the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone. Yet in my dreams I'd be nearer my God to thee, nearer my God to thee, nearer to thee. Verse 3. There let the way appear, steps unto heaven. All that thou sendest me, in mercy give. Angels to beckon me, nearer my God to thee, nearer my God to thee, nearer to thee. Isn't that a lovely hymn? I like the line in that first verse. Even though it be a cross that raises me, I want to be close to you. Like, whatever it takes, Lord. It's a gorgeous hymn. I didn't sing all five verses, but it's worth checking out and memorizing and singing to yourself. I hope you have a great Saturday, everybody. I hope you're getting ready for Sunday. I hope you are blessed by being somewhere with a beautiful scented candle wherever you are. And I hope that you'll lift your prayers up today as the Lord, as the incense of sacrifice. Well, friends, for the awakening, I'm Andrew Forrest, and I'll see you on the field.